Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now for the second time this week, because we just cannot get enough of him, is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate you for coming on earlier this week, and always appreciate you coming on Thursday at 1 o'clock. Elliot, I've had to come up with new questions for you. Now that we can't talk about the coach and who the next coach is going to be. Yes, yeah, I really think Barry Trotz did you a solid there. Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz. I think that the marriage is really fun and really interesting because each have kind of been in each other's shoes. Barry's a lifelong coach. Andrew Brunette has had stints in the front office. How do you view this relationship and this coach-GM dynamic working out?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, Carolyn, I did rack my brain wondering what your first question was going to be because, you know, it's like everybody, a baseball pitcher's favorite pitch, 3-2 count, World Series on the line, you know what they're throwing. So I was wondering what you'd come out with. And this was also a big week for me, Carolyn. I noticed you finally followed me on Twitter, so I feel like I'm walking on clouds.
Did I get a follow back?
Yeah, sure, no problem. I'll do it right when we're done.
Appreciate that.
So I think when you're a first time general manager, I don't think there's anything wrong. Like all of our best friends in the world, we fight with them, but we're on their side at the end. And I think that that's the kind of relationship you have to have when you're a coach and you're a manager. Maybe you can disagree. Maybe you can say, I'm not crazy about this. But when it's over, you have to present a united front and you have to move forward together. And I think that's the kind of relationship that they're going to have. Like, I think Andrew Brunette had choices here. But I would bet that if he wasn't going to be in New Jersey and that avenue wasn't there, this is the one he wants because he's going in there with a manager he knows. He knows the person. He knows how Barry Trotz thinks, and he knows he will be supported. And I think and he knows that at the end of the day, he won't be able to cook the menu, but he'll get his opinion heard on the ingredients. And I think, you know, coaches, they'd love to be GMs and coaches, but you can't do that. But at the very least, you want input. And he's going to get input, and I think it's going to work fine. Like, you know, like the one thing I thought Trotz, like, you know, Derek, I'd be curious to hear if you thought that his explanations were good. Like, he knew what he was in for on Tuesday. He knew the questions. He knew what was going to be asked about him, and he was prepared. And, you know, I think that I was kind of interested in seeing Trotz because for a press conference like that, you better have a message. You better have something you want to communicate properly. And I thought he came out, he articulated everything he needed to be said. He didn't back down from the questions he knew he was coming, and he had a way of answering them. And, like, to me, that's a good sign. Like, that press conference on whatever day it was, I can't even remember what day it is anymore, that was a good sign. That was a good sign because he was prepared for everything that came. And I think that was a good sign for the franchise.
Well, you're right, Elliot. It did change my mind on how I perceived that whole, how the whole coaching search sort of manifested itself. Because, I mean, listen, he's a guy. He had a plan. And no matter what was being said on the outside, he stuck to that plan. And that plan came to fruition. And he got the guy that he wanted in the time that you know, he said he wanted to get him end of May, beginning of June. So he sort of stuck to that plan. So I sort of backed off of that whole thing. Now the coach is here. I don't want to continue to rehash what happened and how it happened. And just hope that things work out. Now, what I am interested in your thoughts on, do you think, because I mentioned this to Caroline and Willie, do you think that Trotzy will have trouble staying within his boundaries as a GM because he has this coaching hat that he's always going to have in his back pocket, and he even said it, not necessarily, you know, coaching the team, but he's always in that thought mode. But will he be able to stay within those boundaries that I'm sure he will set for himself?
I think he will be. You guys know Barry Trotz. I don't know him as well as you guys know him, but I've seen enough of him to know that, you know, I think he really needed a break after at the end of his last year in New York. I've talked to some players about that last season in New York, and they really liked Trotz. He did a lot of great things there. You'll remember when Barry Trotz took over the Islanders, John Tavares had just left, and they thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the East. And him and Lou Lamoriello got there, and Barry Trotz, he brought in structure, he empowered them. But that last year, and they will always be thankful for what he did for them. That last year that he was there was a really hard year. It was COVID. That area of the States had really tough restrictions, and everybody got burnt out, really burnt out. And it was a really hard year on everyone there. And, you know, Barry Trotz had last year to take off. He could have gotten any coaching job he wanted. I think there were teams like the Rangers who reached out during the year and said, "Do you want to coach?" And at the end of the day, he made this decision to be the GM of the Predators. He had options. And do I think it ever leaves your blood? No, I don't think so. And I'm sure there will be times when, it's February and it's game 46 and you guys are having a bad night, he'll be saying, "Holy smokes, I wish I was behind the bench." But I think, you know, he could have picked a lot of jobs, Derek, and he picked this one. And I think that says a lot about where he is in his life and where he thinks he's going and what he's done and what he still wants to do. And I think in the long run, he will be content doing the job he's doing.
Elliot Friedman with us. Elliot, it is really interesting. I wonder if the Rangers, if Jim Dolan will poll the Predator fans, you know, who do you think we should hire, Peter Laviolette or John Hines? It's so interesting how those two names are surfacing for such a high-profile job. But do you think John Hines has a shot there?
Well, it's tough to say because it just kind of happened. I think they will talk to him. I think Laviolette, I thought it was earlier in the week, but I think he's going back in for his second interview today or tomorrow. I heard there might be one other person getting a second interview there, which I haven't pinned down yet. But I do think they'll talk to Hines. If anyone knows Hines, it's Drury. I believe at the beginning of this week, Laviolette was sort of if we're doing this as a horse race, Willie, I think Laviolette was the favorite, was the horse with the inside track. And nothing yet has happened that has made me change my mind.
Okay, so the fact that it's taken this long, because it looked like it was, you know, people were thinking it's almost a done deal here, and it's now lagged for a couple of days. You still think he's there?
I thought he was going in earlier in the week. I don't think he did now. I think he's going in today or tomorrow. It hasn't changed my opinion. It's just my timeline was a little bit off, which won't be the first or last time that happens, unfortunately.
Well, another thing I know you're following very closely is the absolute circus in Toronto, and now the latest chapter, Kyle Dubas indeed takes the gig in Pittsburgh. But it was interesting. I saw the title is President of Hockey Ops, which I think is also very intriguing. I'm sure it was for you. So tell me what you see his role there. So I guess he did not want a buffer between him and ownership. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I think there were two things that Dubas really wanted here. Number one is I think he wants the GM role. Maybe not the name, but he likes that role, Willie. I don't think he wants to be in boardrooms all the time. I heard that's one of the things he kind of even agreed about with Shanahan. I don't want to be meeting with the board all the time. I don't want to be doing that stuff. I want to be at the games. I want to run a hockey team. I think that's his desire. So that's one thing. But I do think he wanted more say. One of the things he battled with Toronto about was he wanted at least the ability to talk to the board directly. And that was not going to happen there. That will happen with the ownership in Pittsburgh. So that's one thing. Now, the reason I think the GM title was not given is that, well, first of all, today he said he thinks that they will have trouble getting permission to talk to people at the draft or before the draft. And, you know, as we've seen, Calgary has some restrictions on Toronto's GM Tree Living now. He can't sit at the table at the draft, for example. So he's punted it into July. Now, the one thing I think about that, Willie, is that sometimes to get people from other organizations, you have to be able to promote them. Like, you know, if like teams are not going to let good people leave for what they see as lateral moves. And by leaving the GM spot open, Dubas can go after someone on another team and say, I'm going to promote them, so you let them talk to us. And I think that's part of the whole, I think that's part of like, some people really get hung up there in titles, Willie. Like, I don't care. You can call me Sportsnet reporter. You can call me Sportsnet garbage picker upper. Like, I don't care what my title is. I really don't. Some people really care about that.
Elliot, before we let you go, you know, you pride yourself. You find if a GM will not let, Derek calls it, let you behind the curtain. Right, some GMs are going to put the iron curtain down, and publicly, they're just not going to tell the media a whole lot of anything. They're not going to show their hand. Barry Trotz was almost an open book yesterday. There was so much material for us just with his philosophy going forward here. He was talking about all the draft picks he had and how he wouldn't rule out packaging some to move up in the draft. He was talking about teams up against the salary cap. We could go get a guy. If that person's available, I would. He even said, would I listen to somebody trading for one of my goaltenders if they would offer me, say, the third or fourth pick in the draft? It was really interesting how he was basically, you know, throwing a lot of things out there for us to chew on here as media. Did you notice some of that?
I did. I mean, the clip that I thought was the most interesting one was the one about the draft where he said, I can find third and fourth liners. Go out and take some swings. Like, I like that kind of thinking. I thought that was really interesting. I think what we learned about Barry Trotz yesterday as a manager is this. When, like, he's not going to leak a lot of stuff. He's not going to tell you a lot of things. But when he's ready in advance, but when he's ready to talk to you, when the moment comes where he's going to talk, he's going to tell you stuff. Like, when you go to a Barry Trotz press conference, you better have a lot of digital space available in your studio.
Right.
Okay? Because, like, that's what we learned about him yesterday, is that when I'm ready to talk, I'll talk. And when I'm ready to talk, you're going to get stuff. So I think that's what we have to prepare for. Like, there's a book on every general manager. What's every manager like? Well, we got a page out of the Trotz book yesterday, and that's what it was.
Sportsnet garbage picker-upper, Elliot Friedman. No, I'm just kidding. Elliot, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on.
No worries, guys. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. You too. Thanks, Elliot. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. He is the very best. And I think that's true. I think that's what we did learn about Barry. We're going to get little breadcrumbs as the year goes on. We'll learn what Barry Trotz is like as a general manager. It's kind of what we learned with the coach situation. I'm evaluating until all of a sudden he's done evaluating and we're moving on. We're getting another coach. But let's get into your thoughts on that. The text line is loaded. We've got Preds thoughts. We've got Titans thoughts. We've got sitcom thoughts. So we are right to those coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Right to your phones coming up next. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6.04 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. Awfully prompt, 6.04 p.m. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.